welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Ferrata, and joining me to break down week three of the 2021 college football season is James Bitter. James, how are we doing?
Fantastic. Looking forward to another great week of college football.
Me too. I would say we did okay last week. We hit a couple dogs outright, which was good. Felt like we were good on totals. I started off so insanely hot, and then I kind of got beat up a little bit towards the night. Would you say that was pretty similar for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's just like the story of college football. I swear, these like the 9 a.m. and noon games.
Oh, like, I've never lost.
It feels like that. It's at least like 6%. And then you get like Pac-12 after dark in the Mountain West, and it gets grim, so.
Just to kind of recap the games a little bit, Iowa won. We kind of thought that would happen. I don't think it's as much of an insult on Iowa State as it might seem. Like, they couldn't really move the ball. But I think next to Oklahoma, or I mean, Iowa's got it's going to have a better defense than Oklahoma. But I don't really think Iowa State will be playing a defense of that caliber, like for the maybe until their bowl game. Did you think it was like a fluky win at all for Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say in part there was definitely some flukiness there. I think Iowa State lost the turnover battle 4-1, and they ended up outgaining them by about 150. I mean, a lot of that was because they were trailing and forced to throw the ball. So in that respect, yes, I think part of it was fluky. Like, turnovers are really hard to predict. Although Iowa's been just otherworldly good, like top 10 in the nation, like the last couple of years at creating turnover differential, the whole nine yards. It's so hard to predict. I mean, if they played it again, I would make the same bet. I think we're on the right side of that no matter what. But
I would agree.
Did lie a little bit.
I certainly see where you're coming from. To me, it felt like a disciplined team versus an undisciplined team. And I feel like that was one of the reasons why we were backing Iowa, just because, like, confidence in the system, you know?
Right.
Whether it was like silly fouls after getting the first down or whatever it was, it just kind of seemed like Iowa was built to contend with better teams than Iowa State was. So
certainly, certainly.
Yeah, that's kind of just what I got for it. I will say I was not that I expected Iowa to have offensive explosion. They are barren of that. I see no way where they can like get a big play against a good team if like they're facing a top 20 defense. Iowa State did a very good job of not only limiting scoring, but like they just shot themselves in the foot with field position, and they just like gave them like free field goals, which,
oh yeah,
like I was not able to move the ball. So I do think that's something to monitor.
Long term, I am looking to fade Iowa. I think, I mean, just like the way they beat Indiana and Iowa State was the same way. Like, the offense does not look dazzling in any respect. But, I mean, when your defense sets you up so well like they have, it's always going to make that score look a little prettier.
I'm kind of eyeing the Wisconsin game, too, because I think that might be prime for, like, a good Iowa team total under.
Yeah, I like that. We're just full game under, dude. Both those.
Yeah, that's true.
That is going to be played at a snail's pace.
Hell, yeah. Profar just hit a two-run bomb. Good Padres.
Nice.
Texas lost. Arkansas looked great. Texas looked uninspired and youthful, inexperienced. Would you agree?
I think those are very good adjectives to describe it. Arkansas wanted it more. They were more physical. They were more well prepared. I mean, you name it, Arkansas just looked better in every facet.
They shouldn't have looked more talented, but they did. And I mean, I don't know what you were really feeling on that game, but I thought Texas was going to take them to the woodshed. I love Sark. I think there is so much talent on the offense, and it just did not present itself then. So, then finally, what was the other big game? Oh, Ohio State lost. I mean, we both bet Ohio State minus 14, and like I was rooting for Oregon about midway through the third quarter. So,
As I knew Ohio State wasn't covering, is when I flipped the side.
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty cool to see, especially at home. I don't want to see Ohio State in the playoff again. I'm sick of them. I'm ready for some new blood there. I was eyeing a Cincy 85-1 earlier today. And I do like their prospects of running the table, and their price actually went down
because they struggled last with Murray State.
Yeah, which, yeah, like,
this is an obvious flat spot.
And very clearly looking ahead too. So
yeah.
All right. You ready to hit top 25 games first?
Let's dive in.
All right. Actually, I'm gonna switch it up just a little bit. I wanna hit the non-ranked versus ranked games first. So we'll start with the team at the tip of my tongue. Cincinnati traveling to take on the Indiana Hoosiers. Indiana's getting 4 at home. The total is at 50. James, you like or lean anything in this game?
The current number, I lean Cincy -4. I do like the under. I think I will bet it. It's now at 49.5. The under's starting to take some money. I bet Cincy Sunday night when the lines came out -3. Really like that bet.
That's a great bet. Very nice.
Yeah. I just think in a low scoring game, that 3 is a pivotal number. And I think just points are gonna be really hard to come by in this game, but I trust Cincinnati more. I mean, Desmond Ridder, he's been there like for forever, basically. At least 5 years, it feels like. But I just trust Cincinnati more. And I think this is their year to prove, like last year, that COVID season, losing that bowl game with Georgia against a lot of subs, like they're legit. I think it's their time to step up. And I think this is kind of a statement game for them.
Yeah. And I think what's important about Ridder is that he's improved every year. Like,
yeah.
Like 3 years ago, it felt like he couldn't complete a pass to save his life, and he was super turnover prone. And very slowly, he's just kind of corrected it. And now, I mean, I don't think he's got the greatest arm in college football, nor the most accurate, but he's such a weapon with his legs. Like, he can bust out an 80-yard touchdown run at any point. For me, I lean Cincinnati team total over. Indiana's got one of the best secondaries in the country, and I just don't think it's going to matter a whole lot when Cincinnati's – they're going to be able to do whatever they want on the ground. And I just don't think Indiana is talented enough up front to kind of stop them. I really want to bet Cincinnati. I missed the 3. I know it's 4, and I shouldn't – I'm okay. I'll be honest. I'm going to end up in Cincinnati. It's just, the degenerate. Yeah. The degenerate in me will get me going on one side. I actually really do like the team total over though. I could easily see them getting to like, what would that be like to 27 points is what they'd need. I think they could do that pretty 26, easily.
26.5 to 22.5.
Yeah. I think Indiana might struggle to score here. I was higher than most on Indiana coming into the year, but I was wrong. I probably shouldn't be making judgments like this off 2 games, but I probably should have cooled my jets a little bit. Not that I was saying that Indiana was like this great 9-win team, but I thought there was more talent there than there actually was. And it wouldn't shock me if Indiana finished this game with 13 points or less, just because of how good of Cincinnati's defense is. So I think Cincinnati imposes here.
I hope so as well, because I forgot I bet Indiana win total under 7.5. So this will go a long way as well.
That will go a long way. Virginia Tech traveling to Morgantown to take on West Virginia. The Mountaineers are laying 3 at home, and the total is at 50.5. James, are we fading Virginia Tech once again?
Of course.
Hell
once
yeah.
You get on the train, it doesn't stop. I bet this -2.5 Sunday night.
I did too.
I also kind of lean this under. I just think this is another low scoring game. I mean, we've seen Virginia Tech's defense so far, at least in one game, they look really good against North Carolina. They look good against Middle Tennessee State, but that is Middle Tennessee State. It's not the same caliber. West Virginia on the other side, you know that home crowd is going to be raucous. Like playing in Morgantown is no joke. They'll get inspired. I think this is a night game too. So that goes, it's just another added bonus for West Virginia. And they're so veteran on defense. Their defense looks really good. They lost week 1 at Maryland, which is just a tough game. But I think here they get right and they beat Virginia by probably 7-10.
I agree. West Virginia is really good up front on the D line. And their secondary is pretty talented too. I love their coach. And then offensively, they don't wow me. But it makes me want to bet the under because I think that like neither team is going to be able to score all that well. But, I think West Virginia has a pretty big edge here, thanks to home field advantage. So go Mountaineers. Purdue, take – oh, you added this game?
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious. I just want your input, basically.
Okay, you do. You, I mean, I know we both got Peacock subscriptions, so we can watch it. Purdue at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is laying 7 at home, and the total's at 58. I want to hear what do you think first.
So I started out probably Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, wanting to play Notre Dame, see if we got under 7. It's just like everyone's selling them. It's a good buy low spot. I like the over. I just think both defenses aren't very good. And I think both offenses are actually pretty good. Jack Cohn showed me a lot last week when that last drive, but, and now I probably lean Purdue +7. I'll probably play the over, but that's about all I got.
So I'm on the opposite. I think Notre Dame might kill this team. I don't think Purdue is very good. They have one skill position player worth anything. And, the coach is great. Defense is not. And I don't think they're good enough up front to stop the run, which we haven't seen a Notre Dame Russian explosion yet, and that will be coming soon. And I got to give credit to Jack Cohn. There, I might be his biggest hater on this earth, which I'll wear it. I will wear it. But he has absolutely impressed me. He still, I will still say, he does not have like great arm talent, but he has been completing passes, and he does have weapons. He's got jump ball receivers. He's got great receiving running backs, and he might have the best, dare I say, the best receiving tight end in the country, which I think, no, let me rephrase. He's got the best, he has the most complete tight end in the country in Michael Meyer. And yeah, so I think that I think Notre Dame could potentially roll here. And I'm actually looking at Notre Dame team total over. I think that they're more likely to get to the target than Purdue is. So
agreed. Okay. I like that angle.
All right, let's get to, I'm actually really excited for this ASU BYU game. I'm going to go from least exciting to most exciting. Arizona State going to, where are they? Provo? BYU. They're going.
Yes.
At BYU. BYU is getting 4.5 at home, quite a bit, I think. And then the total's at 50.5. I think BYU is a very talented football team. I think because of how much production they lost with like Zach Wilson and a great O-line, which they actually turned more on the O-line than people thought. I think this team is very underrated right now. I think they're more than live to win this game. And you know for a fact that those BYU fans will be all hopped up on their lemonade and they're going to be going nuts. It's a night game, which is good. Not that it matters for Mormons, but I think that like they do have a legit home field advantage combined with elevation. I love both defenses. I think ASU's defense is really good. I kind of lean the under here. Jaren Hall, quarterback for BYU, he's not Zach Wilson, but he is talented, and they have a good running game and a good O-line once again. Mitt Romney's like nephew or something isn't going to play. I believe he's out, but I am buying into this BYU team, and I don't know how many spots we're going to be able to back him as a dog the rest of the year, but I think we got to take advantage as while we can. And on top of that, I'm not a Jaden Daniels guy. I was for the last 2 years, and it just ended in disappointment. And so I was left longing for more. So I will continue to fade him as long as he is overhyped. So that's my take on ASU. What do you think?
I actually completely agree with you. I was looking at this under a little bit, but this total opened 2.5, ASU -2.5 total. The spread opened ASU -2.5. Now it's up to 4.5. I think that's really playable for BYU.
Yeah.
I don't understand the money on ASU. They've gotten money coming on them every game. UNLV, whoever they played week one, like Southern Utah, they haven't covered either game or just even looked that good. Both first halves, they looked really bad, and they've kind of turned it on the second half. But, I mean, BYU first half could be a really good angle here. Or maybe they're a little hungover from beating Utah. That's like my only concern. Otherwise, I'd really like BYU +4.5.
That could be true.
Well, it's hard for them to be hungover in that literal definition,
but that's fine. Mormons. At least we could probably make fun of Mormons. I doubt they're listening to gambling shows, right?
I think that's a sin or something. I don't know, man.
Yeah, probably.
I need to watch the South Park episode on it again.
It's probably your best bet. Yeah, Auburn at Penn State. Penn State is laying 5 at home. Toes at 53. Are you buying into Brian Harsin and what he's doing at Auburn?
I don't know if I'm buying in, but for this game, I think I might. I actually liked it at 6, but I thought Penn State would get money, so I stayed away. Now that it's at 5, I might pass. I think Auburn could make a really good, like, round-robin play. I like this under a little bit, but the pace of both teams kind of scares me. Auburn's been playing at warp speed, so I think there's a lot of possessions, which obviously more possessions, more points. But this seems like a Penn State-Wisconsin game, like week one. Just played really close to the vest, like just conservative play calling, at least for the first half. It's hard. I think this number is just really, really good.
Yeah.
If Bo Nix is just any good on the road, like, I'd actually be on Auburn, but he's been so road. His home road splits are, like, just astronomical, like night and day different. So I'll probably end up staying away. I'll watch the game for sure, but not much action.
Yeah, I think that I'm kind of with you. I'm just staying away. I will say, though, and I think this says something about the Penn State program. So with the USC job, oh, we didn't talk about that. Clay Helton got fired 2 years too late. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Said what we needed to. So that came with rumors and, you know, the usual suspects, Urban Meyer, Eric Bieniemy. I hope he just needs to get a head coaching job somewhere. He's too good not to. And then you got like Luke Fickell, you know, all the popular mid-major guys, and then James Franklin too. And so I saw Desmond Ridder come out and say, you know, Coach Fick isn't going anywhere, which, like, that's what I want to hear people say. James, not even a peep from James Franklin. And I think that's a terrible look. And as like in a week like that before a big game, I would at least hope that he's addressing his team or something, because, I mean, they all got Twitter. They can all see the stuff. And so, I don't know. I think that the potential is absolutely there for maybe like a flat performance, maybe early on, if you will. Now they have the gift of the Penn State home crowd in a humongous game, so that's big. But certainly going to be interesting to watch, because I'm – curious to see how Auburn looks against an actual college football team. Ready to move on?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, sorry. Bama. No, you're good. Bama at Florida. The game of the week, I'd say, was like 1 versus 11.
Yeah, certainly.
Florida getting 14.5 points. The total is 59.5. We both love the over, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hoping, is it Anthony Richardson?
Yes, AR-15.
Yes, all right. Yeah, I think you're right. He and Emory Jones have kind of been splitting a little bit. Richardson is banged up a bit. But why I kind of like it in terms of a matchup is that Bama could be without two starting linebackers this week. And I think in order of having that linebacker to spy any running quarterback is huge, and Richardson and Emory Jones both have wheels, and they're both really tough runners too. So, and I mean, don't get me wrong, Alabama's going to have a stable of five-star linebackers throw out at you. Part of what makes Saban so great is that he kind of uses the first year as development. And so I believe that next person up is a five-star freshman. And so for a guy in a hostile environment, which, you know, your first game is you got to take on talented dual threat quarterbacks. I'm not sure that's where I'd personally want my freshman linebacker getting his beak wet. So I do think there's going to be an advantage there. On top of that, why I like the over is Bama's offense is ridiculous again. Bryce Young is great. Like, that doesn't need to be said. I feel like everyone with eyeballs can see it. And Dan Mullen just prepares well. Like, he's always ready for this Bama defense, and regardless, he's one of the best offensive coaches in the country. So And the fact that it's under 60 is great for me. I think I bet at 58.5, which I wish some of my books opened up a bit earlier and I was able to get like, what is it, like 54, 52 or something like that?
56. Or 54, but yeah. They don't open totals for us until like Tuesday, so it's a little harder.
Yeah. Where are you at in this game?
I also bet the over yesterday. You and I have been talking about it since we saw like a tweet saying what the line was in Vegas when they released the total. Love the over. Also like Florida as well. In the past, we've seen Saban's defense struggle with mobile quarterbacks like this. And Emory Jones is a pretty good dual threat quarterback. He has some questions with his arm. But I mean, if Anthony Richardson is – if he's healthy and can just like do like even like 70% of what he did the last 2 weeks, I mean, I think Florida's pretty live here. I mean, that kid is special.
He can move, he can move that ball too.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, he's insane. And another reason that I like Florida here is just Dan Mullen in big games. Looking back, I was just doing a little research today. Every year Mississippi State was not at like an 8-9 win season. I think every time they played Bama, it was within 14 points, like home or road. So he knows how to play Saban. He'll keep it close. I mean, obviously the home crowd will be pretty nice here.
He also beat him twice, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's got experience with Saban. And like last year, just thinking about that Florida, like when he has talent and can drop some players with like actual skill position players, not like Mississippi State guys, who are also like talented, but not nearly like the caliber player he has now. I just think we're going to see a lot of points. I think Florida team total over probably my favorite play here. Just the combination of the two, but I do like Florida plus 14 in the hook and the over.
So here's kind of like a broader question for you. If Florida wins this game, I'm trying to pull up their championship odds right now. So like would they just jump to like 6-1?
Yeah, but I still wouldn't bet that. Like they gotta beat Georgia.
Money on. No. Well, I mean, they'd have to beat Georgia in the title game, do they not?
Yeah, no, Georgia's the same side.
They're both SCs. Got it.
They'd have to beat Georgia, then they have to beat Bama, and then you have to win two college football playoff games. I just don't think they're that good.
That's true. That's a good point. All right. So those are the big games of the week. Before we get into our drafted plays, just a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. All right, thank you to Ink. And now it is time to win some money with our picks, because while we do get excited about the good games every week, this is what we really do truly like, which, hey, maybe you see something we just talked about in there. I had a better week last week, so I'm going to start things off. And my best bet of the weekend is K-State plus 2. Now, I'm sure if you follow college football closely enough, I'm sure you probably saw that Skylar Thompson is out. In his replacement, Will Howard. I've seen for some reason, like a bunch of people tweet like, oh, Skylar Thompson is one of the most important quarterbacks in college football, and it should be a 4.5-point adjustment. And it's just not true. I don't find it any semblance of truth to that. I mean, this is a guy who had a bunch of like big game starting experience last year, and he's nowhere near as tools. He's Skylar Thompson, but he's still pretty solid. And then on top of that, Nevada's a good team. They do excite me a bit, but K-State makes their hay in the secondary, and I think their secondary is damn good. And what you need to beat Nevada, what you need is to slow down Nevada's offense is a good secondary, just to hang with those really good receivers. And of course, Carson Strong. And then K-State is also going to be able to punch them on the ground, I think, with Deuce Vaughn. So give me K-State plus 2. If that doesn't interest you, I'd say take them on the money line, plus 100, plus 105, whatever you're getting at. James, what do you think?
Yeah, so we're going to go over this later, but this made my round robin. So I do like K-State. I think a Mountain West team just being favored at a Big 12 team that's actually pretty good, like K-State, I wouldn't say auto fade because I think Nevada's good, but I'm going to be playing this more than I'm not. So I'm on K-State as well.
All right. You're first. What do you think?
My So my favorite play of the week is Utah minus anything under 10. Honestly, if you get 10, like plus money, play it. I bet this Sunday night, Utah minus 7. So they're at SDSU. Too. Well done. It's currently at 9. So Utah is playing SDSU at wherever the LA Galaxy play in Carson, wherever. Not at SDSU. So the reason I really like this is SDSU last week, they basically just they shot their load for the season. They put up 38 points against Arizona. The offense was firing all cylinders. They had 21 or 28 first quarter points, which is just unheard of.
SDSU side, hasn't done that in their entire history.
I was looking through like the last 4 years and they've done like none of that. Like, it's actually insane. An interesting note though is they do have the best record against the Pac-12 since like 2016, which is kind of funny. If you look at just every school, like minimum of like 5 games played. So I thought that was kind of funny, but that doesn't scare me here. Utah coming off their first loss against BYU since 2009. This is a good Utah team too. They returned 19 starters. I'm sure they'll be furious this week. So I see a really good buy low, sell high right here. In addition to that, the main reason the line moved was Jordan Brookshire, SDSU starting quarterback. It sounds like he's doubtful to play or out.
Mind you, he's not very good.
He's not very good. So I can only imagine what the second string looks like.
This was a school with a 5-player quarterback competition and training camp. And if you have 5 quarterbacks, you do not have a quarterback. So I agree. I think Utah rolls here. And yep. I'd also say there's a big time coaching edge for Utah too. Totally. All right, your second pick. What do we go with?
Georgia Southern plus 23.5.
Woo!
So we are fading Arkansas. We said we liked Texas last week at Arkansas. I know I like Georgia Southern this week at Arkansas. Georgia Southern runs triple option, and I think this is just a really bad spot for Arkansas. Coming off a huge win, like probably the biggest win in at least 5+ years, for sure. And then you get a triple option team the next week. I mean, that's just hard to prepare for. And it just lines up for a flat spot. Sorry, I can't speak. So in running the triple option, you're going to take a lot of time off that clock, make this a shorter game. I think Georgia Southern can hang around here for a while. If you want to get crazy and sprinkle some first half money line, I wouldn't hate that. I think they're catching 14.5 or 13.5 in the first half. So even that I'm not opposed to, but full game, I am on them.
Okay, I agree, and I think that it's so hard when you're feeling yourself to prepare for a triple option like that, and on top of that, they go Texas A&M and Georgia next 2 games. This schedule is brutal, by the way, and then they go Mississippi too, all in a 3-week span. Goodness gracious! So yeah, it's just really unfortunate for Like, it's just an unfortunate spot for Arkansas here, and I really like the play. And I think first half money line is a very nice, very nice spot. As someone who likes to burn money on just insanely priced dogs that likely just get murdered, you got a fan right here with Georgia Southern first half money line. All right, my second play. BYU getting 4.5 points. We cover this again. I just think it's a little too much, especially once you cross over 3. We can kind of move along through this. To my third favorite play was Tulane getting 14. And of course, I'm going to sprinkle a little something on the money line. They're at 5-1 right now. I'll probably throw them in a round robin. I think their quarterback looked absolutely phenomenal against Oklahoma. And for against a team whose defense I expect to be of a lower quality, I think he's going to have just as much success against Ole Miss. This total is insanely high. But Tulane's defense showed some absolute spunk against Oklahoma in what should have been a horrible spot for them. They were like displaced from like where they practice and all that just due to the hurricane, and they still showed up and showed up big time. I think that bodes very well for an outstanding offense like Ole Miss's. I was just looking up like offensive success rate, PPA, explosiveness. Ole Miss was top five, top 10, and pretty much all of it. Tulane was like top, it was like in the 11 to 15 range in all of it. So they do, and that's against a very good Oklahoma team. So I do like Tulane plus 14. James, what do you think?
Yeah, you can agree with me. I lean that way. I don't think I'll play a side here. I just think there's going to be a ton of points. Even with a total of 76.5 or whatever it is, I still might play that over in like a parlay just to keep checking my phone and seeing some scores changing. So that's my take on that game.
Sure. James, you were sending over to the Bama-Florida game with Florida team total over 22.5 or 23.5. Do you care to expand on that? Or I guess we pretty much covered it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was Florida plus 14.5, but talking with you, I think this is probably the better angle if you like the over and Florida. So this is what I'm going to play.
Nice. I think if 23-24 is absolutely.
Oh, certainly attainable.
Yeah. Your fourth play, Miami hosting Michigan State. Why do we like Miami?
Similar to the Utah spot, this is a really good buy low. I mean, Miami, you go, you play Alabama, you get slaughtered on national television. Everyone's watching. The next week you play probably a top three group of five team in Appalachian State, and you barely win. You kind of squeak out a win, but you completely outplay them. I think they outgained them by 100 yards per play, at least half a yard better. So the scoreboard was a little misleading there, but I think just the overall betting public sees Miami as just a team that's not very good. Another year of fraudulent Miami. So I think this is cheap here. Then on the other side, Michigan State, another nationally televised game. Week one goes to Northwestern, blows them out of the water. Just beat a really bad team last week too. Youngstown State, I believe. So two teams that people's kind of see in different lights right now. Before the season, I think it was around like 12.5, 13.5. So at six, this certainly seems like a discount. Give me Miami minus six.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm not one for college football teasers too, but that's something I throw in the leg. And then we'll get through my fourth and fifth here. I love Washington State plus 8.5. They just fired their head coach. So much uncertainty going on. And on top of all that, they just got absolutely shredded by a good quarterback and a good offense, which yours truly, I'll say this. I did not predict an outright win, but I knew for a fact that Stanford was going to put up some crazy points in that game, and they did. And Jaden Delora is very good. He's got a game under his belt, and I think Nick Rolovich will have a great game plan cooked up to kind of take advantage of the weakness in the USC secondary. So give me Wazoo, I bet, at plus 8.5. I think they are very live to win this game. I believe it's a home game for them, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, give me Washington
State.
That
is true. It is a home game. All right, I'm also in Wazoo, so nailed it.
Sweet. Then my final play, Army, minus 33. The love laying huge numbers with the triple option team, right, against the worst college football team in the country, the UConn Huskies. First they retired their coach at the end of the year, and then they said, we're just going to buy you out. Let's just get some new blood in there. So the coach is gone. They played a game without him. It was very bad. Now, I don't know how you go from losing your head coach to then having to prepare for probably the best and most fundamentally sound triple option team in the country, who just got a great win last week. And on top of that, a really good defense to prepare for too. I think Army absolutely rolls. The only worry I have is if they win like 28-7, which it's Army. It's within the realm of possibilities. So but it's already ticked up 1.5. I'm feeling pretty good about this. Army minus 33. James, what do you think?
I think I also bet at 33, and we have a lot of the same bets.
could be very good or very, very bad.
Yeah.
James, your last play of the week. West Virginia, minus 3. James, why do we like it?
We already went over it, but just more of the same. I mean, I just love West Virginia at home. It is actually, it's a 9 a.m. game, so it's not a night game. I was mistaken there, but I just trust that veteran defense to force Burmeister into turnovers. And I just think West Virginia wins. They're the better team. Virginia Tech, so they're a little too high on the market right now.
I completely agree. Yeah, they got a huge national, very standalone nationally televised win, and then I think this is a perfect time to fade it. Really quick, before we head out, we've got a round-robin parlay, or round-robin for you guys. Give me 5 to 10 words on each leg, and we can get out of here.
Northwestern on the road is a favorite fade for Duke plus 130. Minnesota plus 120. Colorado was lucky last week because Texas A&M starting quarterback got hurt in the first quarter, and the backup quarterback looked like a high school quarterback, but with an arm, like he could throw a football through a car. He just had no idea where it was going. He just threw missiles, but nowhere near the target. So they were extremely lucky there.
It was a high school quarterback with the arm of Josh Allen. And he had no touch.
It was
touch.
Josh Allen at Wyoming.
He had no touch whatsoever.
So Minnesota plus 120. K-State plus 100, we went over. Wazoo plus 250, we went over. Tulane plus 500.
That's me.
Jeez, that is. That's me. BYU is also you, and that's plus 155. And we also went over that one. So we are dog heavy this week. The dogs are barking.
And you know what? If you're feeling, you know, you just got that great feeling in your balls, throw Georgia Southern first half money line in there too. Why not?
Yeah.
This reminds me. I believe Georgia Tech plays Clemson this week, which is a good reminder to we'll call it the anniversary of what I would say is my most lopsided betting loss ever, when I bet Georgia Tech first half money line, and I believe they were down 60 at half. No,
I think it was 63-0.
They had one 80-yard bomb, and it was 7-7. That was super pumped.
That's right. Jeez.
But that was a very fun about 3 minutes. All right. Thank you all for listening. Follow us at the Sharp Side Pod on Twitter. Follow us on Best Fruits at the Sharp Side Pod. Same thing. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You might have iTunes. You can hear the music going on in the background. James is probably apartment right now or a house. And hey, let's go win some money this weekend, huh?
Good luck, everyone.